Service Department, the top-ranked Toyota dealer in Vermont for customer satisfaction. Our climate-controlled service drive-through and our complimentary shuttle service make it easy to keep your car or truck in top condition. We stock a huge inventory of pre-owned Toyota cars and trucks, including a great selection of Toyota-certified vehicles. Great service, great prices, and our drive to be the best are why you should come in to check us out. We're easy to find. Just click on 802toyota.com, call 844-802-TOYOTA to speak to a member of our helpful customer service team, or drive to exit 7 off I-89. We're just 2 minutes off the exit. 802 Toyota, driving to be Vermont's number one Toyota dealer.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Condon. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. Nice weather out there today. Beautiful sunshine. Oh, my goodness. What a gorgeous sunrise we had today. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. Coming up on the program today, in just a moment, we're going to be... Here's what we have coming up shortly here for you. An opportunity to win Red Sox-Yankee tickets. The fact that we're going to be talking about energy issues will be kind of a side part of the discussion, so we want to encourage you to stick around. Also, you're definitely going to want to stick around for the entire program this morning, because coming up at about 10:45 this morning, we're going to talk with a gerontologist at Cornell University who has written a book called The 30 Lessons for Loving, and Dr. Carl Pillemer is going to tell us all about love, coming up at about 10:45 this morning. I know all of you are already all experts on that, know everything you need to know, so you don't need to stick around for that. We would love to take your phone calls throughout the program. You can join us at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. Toll free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. Coming up on Friday on the program, we'll be down at the State House in Montpelier. We'll be chatting with a variety of guests, including Governor Shumlin will be joining us coming up at 10:10 on Friday. Again, our phone number's on the program. You can join us at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. We begin this morning, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about some energy issues. And joining us here live in our studios this morning, let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Wendy McCardle. She's the Communications Director for the Energy Action Network. Thanks for joining us. I love that name. It's just so... It's got so much oomph to it.
Yeah, Wendy McCardle. It's got a lot of oomph to it. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. And, the name of the organization's kind of cool, yeah. Too. Touche. How did the name, what is the Energy Action Network? Who came up with the name?
I'm not sure who came up with the name, but it is an organization that's been around for a few years now, and we're a nonprofit that is composed of various business leaders, nonprofit leaders, and key stakeholders in the energy effort in Vermont. And what we're trying to do is help Vermont transition to 90% renewables and efficiency by 2050 in support of the state's comprehensive energy plan goal.
And is that really achievable?
It is really achievable.
I knew you'd say that. But a lot of people think that it's kind of unachievable.
A lot of people think that because we're so used to having an energy system the way it's been for 100 years. And, if you went back 200 years ago and said, oh, we're not going to be using horses and, trains and stuff, it would. Every time there's a transition, it always seems like, oh, my gosh, how are we ever going to get there? But actually, one of the people who was at our annual meeting this year was a former FCC chair, Reed Hunt.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yeah.
He was the chair during the Clinton administration when the information technology system, when the information technology system was undergoing massive changes.
Right.
And so he has seen a major system in this country under in the world undergo a transformative change in really a very short period of time. And so it was very inspiring to hear what he had to say about how that change occurred. And one of the things that he focused on was, you really have to show this irresistible value proposition. What what you're going toward has got to be a whole lot better than what you have right now. And then the public will actually drive the demand for making the change. And I think we've really got that in the energy world. What we've got is a system that has worked for 100 years or so, but it's broken. You know, our supply is very volatile at best. It's not within our control. It has huge consequences, and for our planet and for our economy and for our political stability in the world as well. And so there's a huge opportunity to invest in a new energy infrastructure that's going to create a much better energy future and a brighter Vermont. And that's the name of our new initiative, is Brighter Vermont.
I'm sorry, what was that term, irresistible value?
Proposition.
Proposition. Well,
right.
I've never heard that term before.
I know, we hadn't either, but it all of a sudden it made a whole lot of sense. If you paint a picture of what you're really going toward, what the future will look like if people embrace this new technology, embrace renewables, and embrace efficiency, you really won't have a lot of people wanting to go back to being dependent on gas stations and fossil fuel and drilling for oil and oil spills and pipelines and all sorts of things. I mean, for example, I have a plug-in hybrid vehicle. I've been on the show before talking about that, so we won't talk about it too much. But I will never drive a car again that doesn't have a plug. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous when I get in a fossil fuel, a gas-fired car, and go down the gap, right? Mm-hmm. On my way here, I went down the gap. And in my vehicle, I gain energy. I recharge my battery when I go down the gap, when I use my brakes, when I coast, you know, and it's just, that makes sense. A car should do that. It should capture as much energy as it can through the actual, you know, through gravity or the action of the motor. It should be smart that way. And these new electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids are, and gas-fired cars are not.
They don't seem affordable, though.
Oh, they are. They're coming down in price. I just posted on our Facebook page about it, and this is coming up in 2017, so it's not available right now. But Chevy, you've probably heard Chevy has the Volt.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have something called the Bolt coming up in 2017. And this car is going to be all electric, not a hybrid. It's an all electric $30,000-ish vehicle that will have a 200-mile battery range on par with the Tesla. And I can't wait for it. It looks like a little C-Max Energy, which is what I've got, a Ford. But it's totally affordable because, you know, the amount that I save in gas, I go to the gas station now once a month. I kid you not, unless I'm doing a major trip like to New York or Boston or something like that. But I go once a month, so the amount I save totally offsets the cost of my lease. And, you know, it's a very affordable lease. You can get into these cars for, like, starting at, I think, $149 they had offered a month, and then $200 a month is not uncommon at all. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're more affordable than people think.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Before we get into some other energy issues here, let's talk about this raffle you have coming up, and maybe we can encourage some people to join us on the program in connection with this. So what's going on with the Red Sox and the Yankees here?
Yeah, well, Brighter Vermont is a communications initiative of Energy Action Network, and what we want to do is get people excited about doing things to make a difference and transform the way they use energy, whether that's through energy habits or investing in efficiency in their home or renewables or driving an electric vehicle or whatever it is. There's lots and lots of opportunities. So for 2015, we are inviting Vermonters to make an energy-related New Year's resolution. And, you know, what are we, almost 3 weeks into the New Year, so I think it's about time people probably do a little reboot on their resolutions.
Because all the resolutions you made for your life are probably gone by now.
Right, right. So here's a chance to reboot. And if you can go on the Brighter Vermont either Facebook page or website, you'll see a link to this contest, and enter your 2015 energy-related resolution. Very simple. You have to upload a photo, but it's very simple. You'll be entered in a raffle, our resolutions raffle, and the grand prize is two tickets to a Red Sox-Yankees game of your choice and transportation provided by Motor Coach, Milne Travel. And there's a few options for the games. I think there's some in April, May, and September, you know, that you would have your choice of. And your chances of winning are really pretty good. I mean, we're this is a new communications initiative, Brighter Vermont. So our website and our Facebook page are not that well known yet. We're trying to get the word out, and this is one of our strategies. So pretty good chances of winning. I'd say, you know, 1 in 20, 30 at this point. So get those resolutions in. Go to brightervermont.org, and you'll see information there about the resolutions raffle, or look for Brighter Vermont's Facebook page.
Okay. We're talking with Wendy McArdle. She's the communications director for the Energy Action Network. You can join us on the program at 244-1777. That's our local number in Central Vermont. Toll free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. I think I may put a little less energy into the program for this year. Is that a good resolution for me to have?
No.
All right. What are your resolutions for the year?
So I had two resolutions for this year. I wanted to join my town energy committee. Almost every town in Vermont has an energy committee. And the Vermont Energy and Climate Action Network, VCAN, organizes all these energy committees. And in Bristol, where I live, there has been an energy committee for, at least, I would say, 10 years. And they've done a number of projects, one of which was to replace all of the streetlights with LEDs. And they've pretty much completed that project. And I got involved with the Bristol Energy Committee. We had our first meeting last night. It was a great group of people, felt very welcome, and really excited to help them get the word out and engage more people in doing things in their homes or in the school or in the town related to energy and making it fun.
You used candles at the meeting last night?
We do not use candles at the meeting last night.
I'll quit being a smarty pants. What's your second resolution?
My second resolution is a little bit more challenging. I'm going to try to divest my retirement funds from investments in fossil fuels. And so I need to contact the various like Calverts and different investment firms that I have funds in and try to get it away from fossil fuels. But there's a huge initiative coming up that 350.org is sponsoring in February, and it's a global divestment day. So to encourage different colleges and universities, the state, you know, different foundations and businesses to divest from fossil fuels. So that's coming up on February 13th and 14th, if you're interested.
Why do you think divesting is better than engaging?
I don't think it's necessarily better.
Well, why are you going to do that and not keep your stock and try to work through the company?
Well, I think that I don't have a big voice in the company. If I'm invested in it, I don't get to choose what their priorities are. I mean, if I did, I would choose to have all of these fossil fuel companies start making their business plan include embracing renewables. I mean, BP used to have as it was beyond petroleum for a while. Well, it's not beyond petroleum anymore, and I don't think the average investor really has a lot of say in that. So I think you need to redirect funds into companies that are actually doing what you want them to be doing instead of hoping that you can change those.
So you don't have any hope that by taking money away from like an ExxonMobil, you're going to change their behavior. You're just trying to direct your money to somewhere that's going to do something
positive. I think
positive.
It will probably do both.
Really?
I do. I think that there's some...
What makes you think that? What makes you think if you divested your stock from an oil company that's going to make any difference to them?
Well, I have billions of dollars in the stock.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm a huge investor,
then
Mark.
Pick up the phone.
Yeah. But, you know, what I would really love to do is hear from your your listeners about what they might be thinking about doing in the way of energy-related resolutions, because we're always looking for new ideas. And I think sometimes people think, oh, well, I've already changed my light bulbs, you know, right. What else can I do? But there's lots of things people can do beyond the light bulbs. One of the favorites of the contest so far has had to do with programmable thermostats. And again, many people may have a programmable thermostat. I don't know if everybody uses it. But if you have a programmable thermostat and you're able to set back during the day when you're gone at work or at night when you're sleeping, you can realize some significant savings that way and not be heating a home that's not it's not occupied or being needed to be heated.
Right.
Energy efficient appliances, you know, if you have any appliances that need to be updated, going with energy efficient appliances. There's also these things called advanced power strips, which are, you know, like an extension cord that has, instead of all of the sockets being equal, there's one master socket that will, when you turn that device off, whether it's a lamp or a TV usually, it turns off a series of other sockets that it's attached to. So rather than having to turn off all of these different, like in a home entertainment area, if you had to turn off the TV and the VCR, or people don't have VCRs anymore, do they? The
no.
DVD player, yep. The Wii, all the different devices that are attached to that that actually draw current even when they're turned off. You know, these advanced power strips can help people do that. Maybe a good resolution would be to just try an electric vehicle. Go take one for a test drive. See what it's like. Or if you know someone who has an electric vehicle, an actual vehicle with a plug, see if you can go for a ride with them and just see what it's all about. I mean, these things are great.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just doing something. So I'd love to hear from your listeners what they might want to do.
So maybe we ought to give out the numbers, 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Can I just ask one more question on the divestment thing
before
we move
on?
Yes, okay. So really, I mean, what difference does it make when individuals take their money away from these companies? It seems like there's so much more money that just pours right back in.
All I can say is that I know it's worked for apartheid in the past, and that seems to be the example that people give of why we should be doing this now. It's making a statement that we don't want to have this be the business model going forward. So, you know, after the climate march in October, I think it was, right? No, September. It was in September of 2014. The Rockefeller Foundation.
Right.
Announced that they were divesting.
Just writing that down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that was hugely symbolic, if nothing else. But it also, I mean, those dollars actually do, I think, make a difference. You know, if you see people pulling out.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, continue our discussion. We've been talking with Wendy McCardle. She's the Communications Director for the Energy Action Network. You can join us at 244-1777. That's our local number in Central Vermont. Toll-free 877-291-8255. When we come back, we'll remind you how you can win those Red Sox-Yankee tickets. I'm voting for the one-game playoff at the end of the season. That's what I'd want tickets for. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Green Mountain Power, Vermont's energy company of the future, is offering an exciting new line of energy-efficient products and services, like heat pumps and water heaters to save you money, up to 50% compared to oil and propane, improve the comfort of your home, and help the environment by using less energy. To learn more, visit greenmountainpower.com or call 888-835-4672. Green Mountain Power, generating possibilities together.
Are you planning on improving your health in 2015? In this week's World, columnist Joshua Singer explains the difference between conventional, alternative, and integrative medicine and how these medical practices work together and independently to bring you to optimal health. More than 30,000 people read the World every week. They want their readers to get the most out of living in Central Vermont. Their goal is to educate, keep you informed, and highlight the many great people and things to do in our area. You don't want to miss a week of Your World. You can pick up a free copy at over 250 newsstands throughout Central Vermont. Get Your World at places like Hannaford, Shaw's, and Kinney Drugs. A full list of newsstands is available online at vt-world.com and in each edition. The World, Central Vermont's hometown newspaper for over 40 years.
Maplefields and Irving want you to ski for free. Fill up three times with Irving gasoline at their newest Maplefield store in downtown Newport, just off I-91 in St. Johnsbury, or any other Maplefield Irving locations, and you'll be eligible to receive a buy one, get one free lift pass at great local mountains like Burke, Jay Peak, Smugs, and Bolton Valley. With these new Maplefield locations, a great cup of coffee is never far away when you're on your way for an exciting day at the slopes. Come see them during their grand opening celebration in St. Johnsbury on January 22nd, 23rd, or 24th for awesome specials and prizes.
Looking for a cost-effective way to get your message and image before the public? Then call Always On Time Signs and Designs. They make attractive, well-designed signage in a variety of forms. They offer an in-house design service that is limited only by your imagination. Let's hear from one of their customers.
Hi, I'm Kelly Sullivan. I'm the owner of Splash Naturals, co-owner of Athena's Boutique, and I co-own Ella Boutique in Burlington. They were really easy to work with. They did design it with us. We went and stood over their shoulder and said, well, we want this. No, no, a little more bubbly. And they just kept working with us until we had exactly what we wanted. They were always on time. They were great. I felt like they had very fair prices, and that mattered as well. And they did a great job.
Call Always On Time Signs and Designs at 223-8948 or 1-800-547-0808 for a free client consultation. Located at 115 Industrial Lane in Berlin, Always On Time Signs and Designs, 223-8948 or 1-800-547-0808.
244-1777, that's our local number in Central Vermont. You can also reach us on our toll-free lines, and Ken's picking up the tab today for that. You can call us at 877-291-8255. So let's really ring that up here, because we want to drain him of a little cash today. and by the way, I can't win the ticket, so don't worry about it. Let's head to Montpelier. Fred, how are you this morning? What's going on?
I'm doing real good. I just had a couple of questions, and if it's general information, I'm not being critical. We recently lost the nuclear plant where 70% of Vermont's electrical power comes from. And with an electric guy, I have to plug him in, so I have to pay for the electricity to charge the battery. And number three, those of us that need a larger vehicle for work, for hauling something, or pulling a trailer, there's no tow capacities in those smaller cars.
All right. Good questions. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so electric cars definitely draw and increase the need for electric capacity in Vermont. So we're very committed to building up that electric generating capacity and in replacing it with renewables. Solar has been on the rise. There's wind power. So there's lots of opportunities there to increase the generating capacity and also to, through efficiency, reduce the demand in other ways.
Okay.
And yeah, there's lots of different types of vehicles. You know, one of the first questions I always get asked is, how's your car doing in the snow? And I have studded snow tires. I went up and over the gap on my way here today, and it does great. It does just fine.
Does it have any pickup? Have any pop?
It's got a ton of pop. I mean, electric vehicles, actually, the Tesla 0 to 60 in faster, I think it's like 4.6 seconds or something. I mean, it's got more pickup because it's direct drive, right?
I'm doing 3.9. What about pulling a trailer? Have you ever tried to pull a trailer?
No, I wouldn't pull a trailer with this just because I can't imagine how I would even get... No.
Okay, all right. Vermont Yankee closing? Anything you want to say about that?
Not really. I think, you know, it was slated to close after 40 years and just went through as planned, and they made the decision ultimately. So, yeah.
Do you have any sense what your electric bill is done? Do you charge this at home?
I do. I charge my car at home. And
any clue what it's costing you on a monthly basis to charge that thing?
Well, it went.
When you're not overcharging and, you know, charging it off your neighbor's plug surreptitiously?
That doesn't happen, Mark.
Okay.
Would never do that. The increase in my electric bill, I started off with electric bill of like $55, $60, and it went up probably $20, $25 a month.
Okay.
As a result of the electric car. Now, since that time, since that time, I've added a heat pump. So I also have an electric heat pump that is offsetting a lot of the heating costs from my propane furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you said that you had your car on a lease. So
yeah.
That, I mean, the way that you described it, actually the last time we talked about this, I mean, it really did sound pretty affordable.
It's very affordable.
That they've really kind of changed the way that they finance these things. Because they, before, years back, it was a big bite for people to do.
Well, the thing about electric vehicles is I think a lot of people, rightly so, are a little hesitant to want to own one. I didn't want to own one because the technology is changing so rapidly that you really don't want to be stuck with, like, you know, the iPhone 2 of cars.
Right.
When the next best
you could have the iPhone 3.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm perfectly happy having a 2-year lease, and I think that that's something, as we move forward and transition, that people will start to look at vehicles instead of owning them and having to pay all of the expenses of maintaining them. I mean, gas engines have a lot of maintenance costs that are associated with them. Electric, not so much. So I think there's a tendency to feel a lot more comfortable to get into a new technology if you're just leasing it. And I think people should really look into it because it's, again, very known costs going forward. And there's all of your repairs and, you know, the warranties are really good for lease vehicles.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. Let's head over to Shelburne. Good morning, Ted.
Yes, good morning. Thanks very much. Working on this energy thing and letting Ken and Mark and everybody do my work for me. I have a PR thing. I noticed on one of the television stations that the Fairbanks Museum, St. Johnsbury, is doing an LED rework on all of its displays, and which I think should get kudos. And I'm using LEDs for my various things, especially like porch lights, which stay on a long time and things like that. On the interstate, this comes around to promoting the effort and the organization if they can make this happen. In all, or in some of, at least for sure, the Williston rest stops representing the state of Vermont, our traveling people, there is a very nice wooden display case for crafts and various things that is abysmally lit. And as a former craftsperson who used to really enjoy doing outdoor craft fairs when the colors and things would start popping in the sunlight.
Okay.
Somehow connect. Maybe get publicity for this organization or work with, like, it's a woodworking group in the state who sort of has built these displays, and there's various credits and so on them. And, like, there's one old 2-foot fluorescent light in the very top, and then there's, like, 2 or 3 or 4 layers of display and glass. And all of these beautiful things are in the shade.
Wow. You really studied this.
You may have noticed that certain things get by, and other things I go right down to the details. All but right. Anyhow, it would be a terrific help to all of the crafts and the businesses that are displayed, and to the energy organization that makes it happen. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right. I thought he was going to complain about how that place is lit up like it's, you know, Centennial Field or something.
No, transitioning to LEDs is a huge savings for the town of Bristol. They are saving $7,000 and change every year by having LEDs in their streetlights. So that's significant in a town budget. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy. It also means fewer changes, like the labor that you have to
right.
expend to change bulbs and all. These bulbs last for, I think, 20 years. It's crazy.
And do you not have any idea, are they, how much less light pollution, say, are they giving off? Is it like 20% of what a regular bulb would be, or what?
I don't know that. I know that there are different intensities, you know, that you can get.
Yeah.
And there was, but I have no idea what the light pollution equation.
Okay. 23%? Just kidding. let's go to Hyde Park. Matt, how you doing this morning?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Great.
I'd like to start out by saying that I'm all for energy independence, but I'm concerned that the idea of going to all renewables might leave us in a situation where our power becomes a lot more expensive. And I wonder what your guests' views on nuclear power going forward are. And I'd like to ask you if you've watched Pandora's Promise yet.
I have not.
Has your guest watched that movie?
I don't know.
No, I haven't.
This is about nuclear power, and it's what sort of more about next generation nuclear power, right?
Well, it's about all nuclear power, but the reason that I try to get people to watch it is that it was made by environmentalists who I think were all anti-nuclear before, you know, their alarm at the situation with climate change led them to look at nuclear power from the standpoint of, you know, that it doesn't produce any greenhouse gases, and so more modern reactor designs are covered in the film. But as I said, these were people who were all anti-nuclear and who are all environmentalists. And their position is that we should be using nuclear power because it's clean and it generates a lot of power. That's not to say that we shouldn't do everything that we can by way of conservation, but it seems like the plan that Vermont is embarked on for the renewable energy thing is highly dependent on Hydro-Québec. And I worry a little bit that Hydro-Québec would be able to monopolize our power supply. And so I'm pro-nuclear because we could have nuclear power plants here and be able to generate all the power that we needed without having to cover the state with solar panels and windmills. So I'd just like to hear your guests' response to that
okay.
idea.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
With nuclear power, the one thing that is, well, there's a number of issues, but one issue that has simply not been solved is the what to do with the waste. There's no place to store it. And that is something that has just been 40 years trying to solve, and they still haven't come up the... The federal government still hasn't been able to come up with a place where the waste from all the nuclear power plants can go. So until there's a place for it to go, it seems irresponsible to keep building more plants.
This idea of getting 90% of the power, though, by 2050, isn't that going to require a lot of projects that will be very divisive, very controversial, you know, more wind projects, that kind of thing. And these solar farms are starting to get, some people are starting to have objections to the size of those.
I have every confidence that if we really put our minds to this, that we can develop technologies that will be perfectly capable of not only generating but storing some of the energy. I mean, in terms of solar, for example, there's statistics out there that convey how small an area is really needed to meet the entire demand of the U.S. electric grid and beyond. And to be able to have the battery technology, which is currently in its infancy, and it's starting. I think battery technology is really advancing pretty rapidly. And if we can get the battery technology to the point where you can actually capture and store mm-hmm. that energy, it will make renewables less scary for a lot of people.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk with a sports writer who has written about that terrible case, the avalanche, where the two U.S. skiing prospects were killed, one from New Hampshire. That'll be coming up on the program tomorrow. Let's go to Moortown. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. It's an important topic you guys are having on here, and thank you for talking about it. I think what also needs to be pointed out is that there's really no easy solution. I mean, if we want to use electricity, we got to pay for it somehow. And I'm the last person who wants to see technology on top of our ridges. You know, I like them just the way they are, forested, and that's also important for watersheds. But, you know, I use electricity. I try to use as little as I can. I'm down to less than 200 kilowatt hours a month. There's a lot of ways to save electricity. I think that's obviously the starting point. If we don't want to, either create waste that lasts for thousands to tens of thousands of years in the case of nuclear, or put roads and turbines up on our ridges, or less of them, or less hydro dams and all of the costs that go with that as well. So, and I think of pointing out efficiency and what Amory Lovins would call megawatts, and actually the capacity found in not using electricity or using as little as possible, saving electricity is a key starting point to remember. And then it's a tough nut to crack, you know, what cost to take on to actually produce the electricity we need to live, at least in a modern way.
Okay. Let me get Wendy to comment what you've had to say. Thank you for your call.
I think you're absolutely right. Using less electricity and just being really careful about how you use it, making sure that you are using it in as efficient a way as possible with whatever, you know, devices you're using is huge. We have so much electric waste in this country from just leaving lights on and just not really recognizing what the opportunities are. On our website, on the Brighter Vermont website, there's lots of inspiring stories about ways that businesses and individuals have actually embraced efficiency and renewables to make a difference. And so I'd encourage anyone to go to brightervermont.org and check that out. There's a tab called Bright Ideas, and it contains a lot of video links to stories about Vermonters who are actually saving energy.
We seem to have made remarkable efforts in this state on conservation, and mm-hmm. I wonder how much further we are ahead of everybody else and how much further we can go.
I think Efficiency Vermont is a model for so many other communities and parts of the U.S. It seems to be an idea that's just going to keep growing.
Let's go to Waitsfield. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Mark and Wendy. I think this is definitely an important topic, and cutting back on electricity in any way that we can is important. One thing that we've been working at for a while and very happy that it's been, that they've been getting more and more affordable, or going over to LED lights wherever we can in the house. And, you know, that's made quite a difference. But the other thing, you mentioned turning heat down, well, and, you know, using programmable thermostats and that sort of thing. And they do help to an extent, but you really got to be careful with that, because one of the factors is that, you know, when you cut the heat back, there's, you know, you do expend a lot more energy, reloading the house with heat. It's kind of like flywheel effect, and there are some, you know, if people are heating their homes, as a lot do in Vermont, with hot water, it can become a lot more cost effective to set up your boiler in such a way that it regulates the temperature of the water based on the outside temperature, and that will save you way more than a programmable thermostat will.
Huh.
And just this might be a little bit picky, but you mentioned coming over the gap and generating, you know, power in your car coming down, but don't. But of course, to get there, you had to leave Bristol and go up through Drake Woods uphill, and then over the gap, and then you got into Waitsfield and you had to go over Duxbury Hill. And why wouldn't you just, you know, go up through Richmond? It's maybe about 5 miles farther, but it's mostly flat route, and you probably would save energy, and you'd get there in about the same time.
That's great.
I love Vermont because there's always 20 different ways to get from point A to point B, and they're all like 5 minute difference.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think on that one, you'd probably save a fair amount of energy because
that electric isn't free. You're probably right that there could have been a savings that way. And I actually, you know, I'm a creature of habit, so I usually am going to Montpelier, which is much more direct if I go up and over the gap. And I was actually thinking that exact thought as I started winding my way up the gap. I'm thinking, wonder if I should have taken Gore Road instead. So thanks, yeah.
Because it's not all downhill from Bristol.
It's not, no.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate your call.
Have a good day. Thanks.
Do you want to talk about you know anything about these? I've never heard of a heating system that is connected to the outside temperature. You ever heard of that one before?
Well, geothermal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. So the geothermal heating systems would have an air column. They can actually use the well of if you have a water well, you know, that column, and would use the warmer air that's underground to help heat your home.
Okay.
But not with hot water.
Yeah.
That way. So I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to comment on what he said? Let's go to Middlesex. Ron, good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Ron from Middlesex. I have two questions, but I'll ask you the main one first. If we're going to have this renewable energy by 2050 or whatever it is, I'm waiting for someone. Some stuff has been done, but I expect an energy plan that's going to have to tell exactly how much energy we're going to get from each source and exactly where. In other words, someone's going to have to say the windmills are going here, the solar's there, the hydro's here, and it's going to have to actually be built. And it's going to have to be built not the day before you expect it. So what is your organization? Have you worked with the state, and have you decided exactly where these things are going to go? Because they're going to have to go someplace. So my question is, exactly what plan is being made soon locate these physical facilities?
That's a great question, Bill. The Comprehensive Energy Plan that was adopted in 2011 definitely sets this target, but it doesn't actually create a roadmap of how we're going to get there and where what facilities are going to need to be built or where they're going to be built. So Energy Action Network is taking on some of that work to explore what the possibilities are and to look at siting regulations and work with the state in developing siting for renewable energy facilities, siting policies that are good for the state. One of the reports that Energy Action Network recently, 2 years ago, completed was called Pathways to Clean Energy. And because a lot of people were very skeptical about the feasibility of getting to 90% by 2050, we have a report that actually shows one pathway that can take us there. And it documents where we would need to be in terms of some key strategies along the way. And it covers all three sectors, electric, transportation, and heat. And in terms of electricity, you know, it proposes what we would need to get in terms of solar, wind, hydro, and other means. It would also, it looks at transportation and how many electric vehicles we would need, more biofuels in our fuel mix, and increased CAFE standards, the corporate fuel standards that,
miles per gallon.
Per gallon, exactly. Increasing that. The average for Vermont vehicles. And then in terms of the thermal sector, looking at transitioning to more wood pellet and biofuel use for generating thermal heat, and also transitioning to heat pumps, exploring getting more heat pumps in residents and businesses, things like that. So this is available on the Energy Action Network website.
And what's the site again?
Well, that would be EANVT.org for Energy Action Network.
What's the Brighter Vermont one?
And Brighter Vermont is brightervermont.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for making that easy to remember.
Yeah. And Brighter Vermont is a really good portal for accessing all sorts of information about energy for the state. What we tried to do with this website is divide it into three main sections. You know, why it matters. Why should people care about where we get our energy from and transitioning away from fossil fuels and toward renewables and efficiency? So there's a whole section there about why it matters, the energy security factors, the economic stability, environmental safety, you know, all these, it covers all those bases. Then there's a section called Bright Ideas, which is all these inspiring stories that show what regular everyday Vermonters are already doing to save energy, to transition to a greater efficiency and embrace renewables. And there are video as well as just written stories there. And then the third section is called Get Started. And in that section in particular, we have links to a lot of different partners in the state that are also trying to help people transition away from fossil fuels and use energy more efficiently. So whether you're looking for information for your home in transportation, or looking for something in your community or a business, the school maybe, or if you want to just get started by helping to spread the word, you know, being more an advocate in this capacity, that's where you would go in there. And then I put together a little site or a little section called More that has like quizzes and games and energy reports and things like that.
And Red Sox tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
so yeah. If you enter, don't forget to enter our resolutions raffle. It's going on through the end of January. So there's still 10 days to enter. You can enter once a day. Hint, hint.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Enter as often as you like, up to once a day. And you can enter through the Brighter Vermont Facebook page or brightervermont.org. Enter your 2015 resolution for energy-related activities, and you'll be in the running for two tickets to see the Red Sox and Yankees play in 2015.
And no energy will be expended getting down there or anything. You can borrow. Can they borrow your hybrid car or anything to get down there?
No, they get to go on the Milne motor
bus.
Coach.
Okay, there you go. Yes. An efficient way.
Yeah.
Let's go to Worcester. Stuart, good morning.
Hi there. You know, every time I hear the date 2050, you know, I just kind of cringe in my shoes. What is the world's population right now? Let's say it's 5 billion.
Oh, it's more than that. It's a lot more than that.
7 yeah. billion now?
Yeah, like sort of.
There's going to be two. I don't know the current population, but I know by 2050 there will be 2 billion more people. So if we're on a cusp and we're trying to decide, are we going to try and maintain our current pattern of society with renewables and so forth, it's going to be a much different world by 2050 in terms of demands on planet Earth. In the early 1970s, a man named John Cole, writing in the magazine Maine Times, put out several arguments for a no-growth economy.
Yeah.
And although this, I hear your tone, Mark. You're not that happy with this comment.
No. Listen, you're totally wrong in how you're interpreting me. I'm totally with you on this.
Good.
It discourages me to no end.
The population growth really is going to dictate a no-growth economy. The direction we need to go in is to support the local food, buy local, live local movement that's out there, but, you know, not that well defined.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you're wrong, Wendy. I'm just saying there's something bigger in the background. Yeah. There's this dark cloud that needs to be addressed.
I'm reacting the same way I did when I came back from China and saw people in a Prius after having seen places where coal-fired power plants are going up every week, and you couldn't see the hotel two blocks away from you. There was, mm-hmm. My comment to you this morning was one of pure discouragement, because I think you're right. I think, you know, the efforts that we do in this state here could get completely overwhelmed and wiped out by another billion people in China, another billion people in India.
Yep.
So, Wendy, could take it away.
Yeah, well, we are going to do what we can. You know, that's all you can do, is you do the best you can and you try to set a model for what others might want to emulate and just say, we can do this. We can do something and get started and try to do it in a better way. I don't think that it's a matter of really technology at this point. I think it's just a matter of political will. I think if there were a concerted effort and acknowledgement that we need to do something differently and let's just do it,
yeah, okay.
We really could make some tracks. And
right.
It's not necessarily going to be an easy silver bullet. I'm not saying that there's going to be any complete reversal in some of the consequences of the damage that we may have already done environmentally. But it's certainly putting us on a path that's a more sustainable future and a really brighter future. It's that future involving using energy more efficiently and in a more having distributed generation, like the caller is saying, having it be a local economy is very consistent with the vision of building a better energy future and a brighter Vermont.
You're really confident that the political system can deal with this? Because it doesn't seem like it can.
It can, but will it? It's capable of making huge strides. I mean, we've solved some other issues in the past that have been really daunting. You know, there was this big problem with the ozone hole years ago, and there were some really basic changes that were made that address that problem. And the Clean Air and Clean Water Act helped address problems. And it's just a matter of acknowledging, yes, we have a challenge, and yes, we can do something about it, and we can do something differently. And I have every confidence that if we can get the political will, that there is progress on the horizon.
What did you, go back to what you were talking before. You were talking that Reed Hunt used to be the head of the Federal Communications Commission and talking
right.
about how change happens. So
right.
how do you get from, and I'm putting one hand way over here to the left and another hand way over here to the right. How do you get from here to here in terms of change?
Well, I think,
what'd you learn from him?
I learned from him that the most likely way for this change to happen is from people demanding that they want that vision. They want to pay more for their phones. They want to have a lower quality connection because they want something that's mobile. They want something that's going to be more convenient for them. And in this case, too, we can have a public that demands that they want an energy future that's not going to be at the mercy of whatever the Middle East wants to do with the cost of oil, and feel like puppets. You know, we need to have a secure, reliable, affordable energy system. And if it's in our control, local control, there's a whole lot more greater chance that it's going to meet all of our needs.
But gas is $2.19 a gallon, Wendy.
Yeah, today. I can guarantee you it's not going to stay. It's just not within our control, right? Or it would have been $2.19 6 months ago.
Right, right. Remind people again how they can sign up for your fabulous contest here.
All right, the Resolutions Raffle, 2015 Resolutions for a Brighter Vermont. Go to brightervermont.org, and you'll see a link there to the contest. It's in the rotating banner that is the main images on the website. And
so you catch it at just the right moment when
yeah,
it comes around.
Or scroll down to the news. Or go to the Brighter Vermont Facebook page. Like us and spread the word.
And make a resolution, God forbid.
Make a resolution to do something energy related and join your Vermont neighbors in being part of the solution.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Wendy McCardle is the Communications Director for the Energy Action Network. That's going to wrap things up for hour number one. We're going to check news. We'll have our White House crew joining us on the program today. We'll take your calls in hour number two as well. Keep your dial right here. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugarbush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Kingdom, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury and Montpelier. News is coming your way next.